broadcasting around the entire world. From Austin, Texas, via Simplecast, and supported by listeners like you. Bitcoin, billions, stellar, trading, mining, markets, FUD, sharing, forks, millions, fights, wise. Keeping you up to date on everything crypto. Welcome to Thriller News. Now here is your host, Carr Gonzalez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from around the world. Welcome to a weekend edition of Thriller News. Today is December 29, 2018, and I'm Carr Gonzalez. Today we're going to jump into all the news this week. Wasn't a lot going on, but what there was, it was interesting. Let's jump into crypto top stories.
Crypto top stories.
All right, so today's top story is Litecoin Foundation. That's right, they had partnered with the UFC in creating a big old sponsorship deal. So it's pretty big. Check this out. Today is UFC 232. It's a rematch between UFC lightweight heavyweight champion John Jones and Alexander Gustafsson. And this is going to be the first time a crypto sponsor for a UFC event. The Litecoin Foundation has released a statement, and this is what they said. With brands and institutions continuing to push into cryptocurrency and blockchain, this is yet another signal of this technology moving closer towards the mainstream. He believes that millions of viewers will be able to interact with Litecoin at the time of the telecast and hopefully buy some more. No, this is big news, and I will say this. There's not too many times this year crypto has interacted with the mainstream and has taken their eyeballs and focused on it. Litecoin logo in the middle of a fucking ring is a big deal. Seriously, it is, because for the last 25 years, UFC is the premier place that everybody goes to for mixed martial arts. It has evolved ultimately from this small little, you know, grassroots movement to a global phenomenon. And it's bigger than boxing now at this point. So just in the global awareness standpoint, seeing Litecoin logo right in the middle of the ring and then potentially having people talk about it during the telecast, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to watch it just because there's a Litecoin logo on there. I want to see what happens. And yeah, it's going to be fun. Should be a lot of fun. And a lot of people have shitted on Litecoin, of course, but ultimately, those people do not realize that you got to throw shit at the wall, man. You got to throw shit at the wall until something sticks. If this works for Litecoin, then great. That's cool. Then everybody else knows we can start entering markets in different segments. And I think that's what people forget. People forget that crypto is very small. I mean, really small. So it's up to us to reach out to people in different platforms to gain that adoption. That's why whenever I go out into the real world, I talk about cryptocurrency to regular people and ask them about Bitcoin or ask them why they like Venmo or why they like PayPal or why they like Square, stuff like that. And if you do this on a daily basis, you start realizing that crypto is very small and we're a very tiny segment right now and the world's mine. Okay. Next piece of big crypto news is Bitmain. That's right. They're underway to laying off close to 50% of their entire staff. And some departments might have to be let go entirely. And this is coming at the behest of Bitmain filing an application to go public on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange over a month ago. It's kind of sad at the same time because there's over 3,100 people, even several hundreds more than what was disclosed in the IPO in September that worked for them. But there were only about 1,000 people at the beginning of the year. So these people just got hired. And they expected, you know, business to grow, of course, like everybody else. Expected expansion or a growth rate increasing this year. Yeah, this is just more bad news for CEO Jihan Wu of Bitmain. Yeah, and that's crypto top stories for the week ending of December 30th, 2018. One Litecoin Foundation doing extremely well. Bitmain doing extremely awful. Yeah, sucks to be Jianwu right now. With that, let's get into crypto rapid fire.
Crypto rapid fire, just in case you missed it.
All right, crypto rapid fire. Let's do this. Mt. Gox CEO Mark Capellas claims innocence as trial nears end. That's right. In his closing arguments in a Tokyo court, Mark Capellas, former CEO of collapsed Bitcoin exchange Mt. Gox, has restated that he is innocent of the events that saw the firm lose millions in customer funds and ultimately go bankrupt. Well, I mean, that's all you can do at that point. Next up, we have CEO Brian Armstrong pledges to give away crypto wealth to charitable causes. That's right. He says on a certain level, when wealth is reached, there is little additional utility from spending more on yourself, whether it's through improving education, creating a more level playing field, or increasing economic freedom. I'm interested in helping more people see their ideas come into fruition in the world. That is why I created my first philanthropic effort, givecrypto.org. Way to go, Brian. I appreciate it, bro. Don't forget about independent media, though. Don't forget about Thriller Podcast and all your crypto fans. Love, Car, and the Thriller Army. Graphics processing unit producer NVIDIA is facing a class action lawsuit over the losses reported by the company when lower crypto prices diminish demand for GPUs by miners. The lawsuit was announced on December 24th. The complaint states that the company made false and misleading statements to the market, namely, according to the announcement that NVIDIA touted its ability to monitor the cryptocurrency market and make rapid changes to its business as necessary. The GPU producer also declared that any drop-off in demand for its GPUs amongst cryptocurrency miners would not negatively impact the company's business because of strong demand for GPUs from the gaming market. Interesting enough, though, NVIDIA was one of the worst reported performer in the S&P 500 after a massive sell-off of its shares. The stock price of the company fell by 54%. Ouch. And in our last piece of news, we have the Ledger company's wallets have been hacked with a simple antenna. Well, not exactly. What requires is for someone to buy a bad Ledger and then knowingly know where they live and then hack their computer and then watch them in some way to know when the Ledger is attached to the computer so that they can stand 30 feet away and believe with the most powerful antenna and hack it. It's going to be hard, but it can be done if your neighbor knows that you have cryptocurrency. So don't tell your neighbors. With that, let's get into a crypto YouTube. Some interesting stuff is going on. Let's do it.
Crypto YouTube, the world of crypto YouTube, the world of crypto YouTube, the world of crypto YouTube.
So as of late, it seems that Cointelegraph has been creating some really good, interesting content on their YouTube. It's probably because they have over 30 people working for them. No, seriously, there's some really good content that's being created by Cointelegraph, and they're releasing some really interesting documentaries, very similar to what Vice does and very similar to what the Wall Street Journal does. Great content. Take a look. Take a listen as they talk about the blockchain island in Malta.
When the Prime Minister of Malta, a tiny island nation in the Mediterranean, addresses the United Nations, the world rarely stops to listen. But Prime Minister Joseph Muscat's speech in September broke some new ground.
We are currently in exciting technological times. This is why in Malta, we have launched ourselves as the Blockchain Island. By being the first jurisdiction worldwide to regulate this new technology that previously existed in a legal vacuum.
We traveled to Malta to see this blockchain island and were amazed by its beauty. A speck in the Mediterranean, between Europe and Africa, Malta is one of the smallest countries in the world, with a population of less than 500,000. For almost 500 years, the only thing that resembled crypto here was the crypt of St. Agatha, a virgin martyr who died in a Roman prison in the year 251. Today, however, there are dozens, and perhaps hundreds, of crypto businesses on the island. But we were wondering how aware the local Maltese are of their country's new crypto and blockchain identity. We figured that, if anyone would know, it would be students at the university, one of the oldest in Europe.
Blockchain islands, no.
No,
I don't know anything about that. So.
No, I haven't.
I don't think so.
No.
I think most of us don't know about it. I might be mistaken, though.
Personally, I didn't know about this. So I think we need more awareness about it, especially if it's growing.
So, is Malta really a blockchain island? And why does it want to become one? Let's take a closer look. Malta has a very exciting history. First, it was colonized by the Phoenicians in 700 BC. Then came the Romans in 218 BC, followed by the Byzantines, Aglubids, the Norman Kingdom of Sicily, Order of St. John, the French, and finally Britain, which colonized the island until 1964, when Malta finally gained its independence. To grow its economy, Malta has always been innovative. In the early 2000s, it passed legislation that allowed it to host online gambling companies, which turned out to be a huge success, now accounting for 12% of Malta's gross national product. So it does make sense for Malta to welcome another new technology, crypto and blockchain.
We could tell there's going to be revolutionary. And Malta, because we don't have natural resources, whatever idea, we're ready to listen and grab an opportunity and run with it. But the turning into reality, into implementation in such a short time, small countries like Malta are able to do it. We don't wait for tomorrow, we just try to do it today.
Malta has leapt into the business of hosting crypto conferences. These events, largely supported by the government, attract major crowds. The recent blockchain summit drew almost 4,000 people, a number close to 1% of the total population of the country.
What we really love about Malta is it provides a balanced and robust regulatory framework. The second group that's very important are the regulators, because they need to enforce and implement those laws and regulations.
In November 2018, Malta became the first country in the world to introduce 360-degree crypto regulation for engineers by engineers. Other laws protect investors by regulating crypto service operators, exchanges, and ICOs. Crypto advocates welcome this, although some point out the irony of a government supporting a currency that is designed to be independent of all governments.
I think it's great. I think it's absolutely fantastic. But in the long run, it's meaningless, and for this simple reason. If we use cryptocurrency for its intended purpose, and if distributed exchanges come along, what does it mean to be crypto-friendly? Who cares? Because whatever legislations you wish to enact or not enact cannot be enforced. So in the short term, that's great. We're getting support from the government. We get some validity, we get exposure, people feel secure in it. But in the long run, we will have control from no one, no government. And all of the welcoming arms in the world mean nothing when you're welcome anyway.
Meanwhile, right now, crypto businesses are happy to be welcomed by Malta. It has received more than 1,000 applications from crypto companies attracted by the new regulations, the ease of registering a business in Malta, and a lucrative tax refund mechanism that can lower the nominal 35% corporate tax rate to as little as 5%, the lowest in the EU. One blockchain startup that decided to make Malta its home is Chili's. Its business is tokenizing sports teams like Juventus. It is also betting on Malta's future as a crypto capital by building a so-called blockchain campus.
We developed this campus in Malta because we believe that there will be a lot of companies that's going to need help and resources to help setting up their operation here. And for us, because we were based here, it's good for our company, for Chili's, for a couple of reasons. One, it's going to help us to be like at the epicenter of the ecosystem here in Malta, and it will also help us to grow our name and become more like an authority globally in the blockchain space.
The Blockchain Campus is intended to host up to 50 companies, law firms, VC firms, and even ordinary hodlers. They will pay for their spaces with Chili's tokens and have access to a network of incubators in locations as widespread as Tokyo, Singapore, Berlin, Tel Aviv, and Paris.
Malta has been at the forefront of many regulations in the last 15, 20 years. And because they are European countries, so whatever you do here in a regulated way, you can provide your services in the rest of Europe. Right now, you know, if you create a blockchain or a crypto company, there is some countries that could shut down your business from one day or another. Here, you know that you are welcome. The Prime Minister is welcoming you. The President is welcoming you.
And these are not just words. We were invited to a private event hosted by Binance and the President of Malta at San Anton Palace, the President's official residence. We were the only media company that was invited.
So good evening and welcome to San Anton Palace and welcome to Blockchain Island.
Why are you wearing a Binance shirt?
Oh, it's a Binance event.
Is it true that Binance is going to announce its office tonight?
No comment.
How many of you have ever attended a blockchain event at a presidential palace? I think this is the first one in the world. I think Binance got really lucky, and I think as an industry, we got very, very lucky with Malta. Malta came at a time where regulatory clarity was very much needed, and we needed a government to support our industry, and Malta took that lead. So let's give a round of applause to the
government. It's not just the business. I have come to know that this new technology will be a whole revolution of how humanity will be dealt with. We need to be one human family for each and every one of us to be successful in whatever we are doing. Thank you, enjoy the evening.
I first came to Malta in January this year. When I met with the regulators here, they were already very, very knowledgeable on blockchain industry. They understood it completely. Not only the technology, and they also understood the potential impact, both mm-hmm. technology-wise, financial-wise, economically. They understood everything. Mm-hmm. And they already had a draft legislation before I even talked to them. They presented that to us for review and for comments. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's fantastic.
Malta's attitude toward crypto and to new technology and business in general is paying off big. Its economy is growing at an unprecedented rate of 6.6%. For the last 3 years, it has been the fastest growing economy in the EU and one of the fastest in the world. Decades of budget deficits finally changed to a surplus 2 years ago.
The economic growth in Malta is so high, it would have hit a ceiling long time ago, just like Luxembourg, if we were to rely on the Maltese labor force. We realize, and the government makes it very obvious with the people and tells them, look, it's a deal. If you really want to grow and your standard of living, you want to increase, and for you and for your children, you have to have people coming.
It's very interesting that you have all these different countries trying to recruit blockchain companies, crypto organizations, foundations, just anybody involved with this distributed ledger technology. And what I find fascinating, not only just that, is they're embracing crypto as a monetary store of value or as a replacement for fiat currency. And to me, that is a spark in the right direction, ultimately. Yeah, I really like what Cointelegraph is doing these days. They're making some really great content, and that is very much needed in the space right now. I know there's a few other people that will dive into it here amongst us, but I feel like when it comes to, you know, great storytelling and great, interesting content, Cointelegraph doesn't let down. I just wish they would get rid of those goofy pictures on their website of cartoons. I don't like that, but I'm probably the only person that doesn't. Anyways, let's jump into crypto Twitter. That's right.
Crypto Twitter.
Crypto Twitter.
Crypto Twitter.
All right. So it looks like all the Bitcoin maximalists and all the Ethereum maximalists are fighting each other right now on crypto Twitter. No, you know, this goes back to what I was talking about on Throwcoin Talk yesterday, was this crypto tribalism is just getting out of hand. And now people are commenting on the crypto tribalism and it's just getting ridiculous. This bear market has brought out the worst in people. I mean, just hold your damn bags and shut the hell up, right? That's what everybody is telling them right now. Okay, so first up, we got Bitcoin Bella. She says, I would go anywhere on this map to meet you amazing crypto people. She has a picture of chicken nuggets that are shaped like countries. Then we have Secret Profits Crypto. She says, I'm thinking to open crypto tattoo removal business. Do you think that's a good idea? And then we have Peter McCormick of What Bitcoin Did says, pensions should not be buying crypto. Pensions should be buying Bitcoin, of course. And then we also have Crypto Coins News, former Wall Street investor, Big Chance Crypto is best performing asset in 2019. They're calling it a win, even though we tanked. And then TokenPay also saying crypto hodlers are the tech obsessed millennial reincarnation of the 80s gold bugs that gathered on the weekends in local hockey arenas to talk about and trade precious metals and coins. Everybody called them crazy until they're worn. Yeah, that's cool. Way to go. Next up, we have Charlie Shrimp. He says Bitcoin Cash has a very low rate of adoption and block sizes currently average less than 100 kilobytes per second, making the block size increase above Bitcoin's 1 megabyte, totally pointless, defeating the purpose of Bitcoin Cash. And then we have Dan Deuce Ex Machina. He says, watch out, Wall Street ladies. Here come crypto traders. And then this shows a picture of Jennifer Lawrence. And what's that guy's name? I forget his name. He says, so you buy Bitcoin? And then he says, yes, and I buy it with parents' money. And then she kisses him. And then finally, we have a tweet from Richard Burton. He says, during this crypto bear market, I think it's important to focus on a number that indicates that real progress is being made. For me, it's the amount of capital flowing into decentralized financial products. Over time, I think these will drive adoption. Yeah, I think so too. And then Bitcoin Ben says, had a call from a CEO of a major crypto exchange. He told me that 95% of the exchanges do not hold the coins they claim to hold. They are in panic mode. Please get your coins off the exchanges now. Pound proof of keys. Yeah, that's disturbing. And then also we have Orion says that she's using all her crypto profits to buy a new backyard. Way to go, Orion. And that's it for crypto Twitter. Let's jump into Coin360.
Crypto 360 weather report.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a total market cap of $130 billion. Hasn't changed as much. We went down to as low as $120 billion earlier this week, and then we saw a $10 billion rise on Thursday. Bitcoin is currently at $3,892. We got XRP at 37 cents. Ethereum at $136, up 0.29%. Got Bitcoin Cash at $164, down 5%. And EOS trading at $2.63, down 2%. If we look at our 24-hour change, we have 10x up 22% at 42 cents. We got Dentacoin up 15% at 1/10th of a cent. We got Buggeroo Coin, Buggeroo, up 10% at 3 cents. And we have Mixin at $85, up 8%. Nah, crazy. And then also, I do want to mention, don't forget, we got the Litecoin pump probably happening later on this evening if you're listening on Saturday. Am I expecting something? I don't know, but it's going to be interesting to find out if the UFC kind of effect takes hold for Litecoin. It was at $29. It has gone up to $32. And so if it goes up from 29 when they first announced the news to what it goes on to later, we'll see. I don't know, but shit might stick. And if it does, you want to be a part of it. And with that, let's get on to the end of the show.
Sun goes down on my side of town. That lonesome feeling comes to my door, and the whole world turns blue. There's a rundown bar across the railroad tracks. got a table for two way back where I sit alone and think of you. I spend most every night beneath the light of a neon moon. If you lose, you won't know it. There's always room here for the lonely to watch your broken dreams dancing out of beams of a neon moon. Two young lovers running wild and free. Close my eyes, sometimes see you in the shadows of the smoke-filled room. No telling how many tears I sat here and cried, or how many lies that I've lie till my poor heart. You'll come back one day. I spend most every night beneath the light of a neon moon. If you lose, you won't know I'm less. There's always room here for broken dreams dancing out of the beams of a neon moon. Better be alright as long as there's light from a neon moon. And I'll be alright as long as there's light from a neon moon.
All right, that's another Thriller News Dunsies. Okay, what do we got going on this weekend? Well, we have our New Year special coming out on New Year's Eve, so look out for that. We also have, that's right, our New Year's giveaway of crypto, duh! That comes out on Tuesday, so sign up for that. Link's in the show notes. And then also, don't forget, Voyager still giving out $25 of Bitcoin till Monday, December 31st. So click that link in the show notes and buy yourself some Bitcoin and save the entire fucking world while you're at it.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Bar Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Carr said likely won't come true. It is up to you. Now go, do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto, and not Carr. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.